The RTE Rugby Podcast.
And hello from Damien O'Mara. You're very welcome to the RTE Rugby Podcast. And so here we are, the final round of regular league season games in the Pro 12 this weekend. Not as much to talk about as maybe the tournament organisers might have wanted to have been the case with all the derbies taking place across the league. We're going to get stuck into that in a couple of minutes' time. We will talk about the potential route to silverware for Leinster and Munster. And with the weekend that is in it, we will chat a little bit as well about the AIL final, which is taking place at the Aviva Stadium on Sunday afternoon. I'm joined as always by RTE TV rugby editor Wes Liddy. How are you, Wes?
I'm good, Damien. Yeah, all good.
A lot better than the Pro 12 tournament organisers are, or the man who did the fixtures and had what is a great idea to have all the derbies across one weekend. It's just a pity that for the most part they don't count for an awful lot.
Yeah, I suppose it's not quite the climax they wanted for sure, but look, you can't hold it against them. It's a shot in the dark when you plan it. It could have been one or two results go a different way. It could have been a phenomenal end to it. So I wouldn't be too down on the organisers for it. But I suppose derbies have a certain attraction in of themselves. And, there is something riding on a lot of the games. Maybe not quite what we had in mind. But, the seeding in the Champions Cup is driven by the league table. And there's one or two cases where Champions Cup qualification is at play, like with the Italian game, obviously. So, it's not blockbuster, but it's still, pretty entertaining weekend, I think.
Is there a sense, do you think, that the league is really still... There's a kind of a period of transition going on that... I think they've admitted that there's stuff that's not quite right and they're working towards improving it. So maybe this is one of those seasons. Let the new chief executive get his feet really in underneath the table and hopefully build on to something from next season onwards. Because it's not a bad competition. It's a great competition. It just maybe needs a bit of a polish.
Yeah, well, look, I suppose it was so late starting and before the Irish provinces gave their full attention, Irish provinces in particular gave their full attention to it, that obviously it doesn't have the lustre of the European competition. But I think it's been a great season for the league in terms of... after all the talk last year, French and English dominance, that Munster and Leinster were back in semi-finals, Glasgow were in a quarter-final. It's been pretty competitive across the board. I think the standard league's been like, certainly compared to last year, it looks way up. I think any league where the top teams miss their best players for half the games of the season is always going to have fallow periods where people dip in and out, but generally I think it's on the up, and I think there's ambitious plans for it, and some of the more ambitious plans we've heard lately could come to fruition, as unlikely as they seem. So,
well, let's get a sense from a man who I know has seen plenty of Pro 12 rugby over the course of the year. Marcus Horan joins us. Marcus, how are you?
I'm good, lads. Good to talk to you.
What's your take on this? It's a great concept to have all the derbies played across in one weekend, but it is unfortunate that for the most part we're talking about maybe Treviso against Zebre being the standout one, because it's winner takes all in terms of Champions Cup qualification. It's not quite worked out the way we would have wanted it to have done.
No, not at all. I think, the only one maybe that comes close is Ospreys and Scarlets then as well. I mean, they're just two teams that are fighting for more or less the same prize and getting into an away semi-final. But I agree with Wes. You can't foresee these things, and I think there's a bit of a hangover from last year, the knock-on effect of a World Cup year, and then I suppose when you see Connacht winning and a well-deserved league win for them, but a lot of the other clubs will argue maybe that they weren't at full strength for some parts of the season. Mind you, when Pat Lamb has spoken about that and said most of the teams that they played, they were at full strength. So you can't take away from that. But I think next year as well is going to be an interesting one. The hangover from a Lions tour is going to be have an effect on, like what Wes said, how quickly or how late these teams will start their competition or take it seriously or even have their full strength out. It's very difficult for the organisers to plan for that and to understand how certain coaches will approach it, or how the IRFU in particular are monitoring their players. So, each year has its own little little elements that have an effect on the way the game is, or the way the league is approached by teams, you know.
But in many ways, is it almost like the parallel of what we've seen with the club game, that as the provincial game got more important, the club game suffered, and now as World Cups and Lions tours and the international window gets more and more prominent and more lucrative, that do we just need to accept that the Pro 12 then is going to lose out as a result of all that?
Yeah, look, there's an element to that, and look, as a former club coach, I've little sympathy for some of the provincial managers, but you know, I think it's that's the nature of the game, and you know, I think what was passed down to me as a club coach has probably been passed down to the provincial coaches as the message of the reason why these things are being done. But you know, I think each level of rugby in the country has an effect on the other, whether it's going down, coming from the top down or from the bottom up. And I think there has to be an element of those particular levels protecting the other levels around them in some way. And that's probably coming from my club hat on, but I think you could definitely see that maybe happening or affecting the provinces, and then subsequently affecting the merits of the Pro 12 League, as Wes alluded to, you know.
Marcus, I suppose, look, we'll come back to the club stuff in a minute, because obviously the AIL finals this week, but I suppose just in terms of the silverware still to be decided in the Pro 12, obviously Leinster and Munster semi-finals guaranteed. I suppose looking ahead, you know, since the semi-final, there's been a lot of talk. I suppose Leinster came out of that weekend with a bit more credit. They were closer to getting across the line. Would you have any fear or sense that maybe, you know, the physical toll of the style they play and the kind of emotional toll of everything that's happened this season, that, you know, maybe Munster are kind of... There's a danger that they'll struggle to see out the season at their very best form, that maybe, you know, fatigue, mental or physical, will start to play a factor.
Yeah, look, I think that's definitely a fear that maybe even a lot of supporters are talking about, is, you know, how can you sustain that? We talked about that run they had since that emotional Glasgow game and the run they had of wins, and you, everyone's wondering, how can you sustain that? But look, I think there's definitely been a refocus since that Saracens game, and even, you know, they're resting a lot of players and they're really targeting, and look, a lot of people fear that too. They want their frontline players to be ticking over, and you wonder, you know, can you get that balance right by not playing guys this weekend and not playing a few other guys last weekend, and then expecting them to fire on all cylinders for a semi-final. But you know, I think they have been through the ringer emotionally, physically, and as you said yourself, the way they do play is a very physically demanding game, and you know, and sometimes you kind of think, does that take its toll? And I think these last two weekends, and this weekend included, and obviously the free weekend next weekend, if the S&C coaches and the physios get things right, you could have a really eager and fit Munster squad ready to go for a semi-final, who are champing at the bit. And that's the balance you've got to get right. You've got to be sort of pulling at the reins, and hopefully the boys are ready to rock and give it two more big performances, which, you know, when you see what they've done through the season, I think it's very, very much in them, you know.
Marcus, in a situation like that, is it driven by the strength and conditioning people, or is it largely driven by the players themselves as to whether or not, you know, some want to play week in, week out, some want to play to maintain that level of form?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, I was around the week after, the Monday after the Saracens game, and there was a few guys really, really sore, and there was some guys put up their hands to say, look, I want to just get back on the wagon again and get going. And there's other guys who just physically not up to it, or even mentally that they needed a bit of a break from it. And the amount of monitoring and the level of monitoring and conversations between coaches, S&C coaches and rugby coaches, is huge. And I mean, they meet and they discuss individuals, and they discuss the group, whether it's the pack or the back line, and who's going well and who needs the break. So, you know, it's fairly scientific to where they're going with regards to monitoring players. And with the best advice in the world to the player, if the player is in physically good condition and is eager to play himself, sometimes it's good to let them off and do that. So it's a nice balance that they have, and I'm sure they have it in other provinces as well. But it's a good way to understand their players, and a good way of getting to know their players a little bit more, because you know, there's some players that will demand to play every week, and the only thing is to give them the week off and demand that they take the week off, you know.
I suppose, you know, Leinster, Marcus, would arguably that slight bit more squad depth, and, you know, as we said, maybe they showed a little more in their semi-final defeat in Europe. Home semi-final, you know, kind of a home final to come, possibly. I mean, I presume they're your favourites at this point.
Yeah, they would have to be. And look, I've seen a lot of Leinster over the season as well, and what's impressed me about them is that... It's that young crop that are coming through. I think, you know, the case in point would be the likes of the absence of Sean O'Brien at stages during the season, and now Heaslip, you know, the senior back rows that really led the team. And I would be a big fan of what Heaslip has done over the years. He's done a lot of work that on the pitch that people don't see, and he's got a lot of criticism in recent years, but. You know, for to see those guys out of the team now, and to see the likes of Jack Conan and Van der Fleer, and Rhys Rulloch now, who's been around a long time himself, but you know, they've really stepped up, and I've been really impressed with that. And you're right; it comes down to the strength and depth of a squad to be able to maybe lose even Johnny Sexton a couple of stages during the season, to have Carberry to step in at 10, and then. Young Byrne then as well, but also Carberry to move to 15 to replace Kearney. I mean, that's just you know, that's just a conveyor belt of players coming through and of real talent, and you'd have to say that they would be favourites, and especially with the fixtures where they are, I think you know, home advantage is huge for them. But look, we'd all love to see a Munster-Leinster final. I think it's something that the whole country's been craving for the last number of years, and that would make it really, really interesting.
Okay, you took the next question out of my mouth, so I'll press on. How do you think Connacht should reflect on the season, or how will they reflect on the season?
Look, I think from their own standards, from being champions, it's a very, very disappointing season. I think, you know, when they're champions, you kind of expect maybe to get into Europe without any problems the following season, at least, you know. And I think that's the one thing they've struggled with. But then you look at what they've lost over the season. I mean, what everyone talks about losing Henshaw, but you know, I think you know, there's the collective of what they've lost, and his name is gone. Ali Muldowney, exactly. Thanks, Wes. He was immense for them last season. And I think, you know, that stuff in the middle of the field, that link, a lot of their problems this season was the ball from 10 to a forward. And sometimes it was going from that forward out the back door to a back, or he was trucking it up. And that decision-making has let them down big time this season. They've actually turned over ball and even coughed up tries as a result of a poor pass from that forward in that position. And Ali Muldowney was the key man in that area. And it's a small thing. You think, you know, that they'd find someone or find the individual to take up that mantle. But I think it's the one area that's left them down. And you know, they were very good at getting out and around teams. And I think, you know, the other side of that is teams have sussed them out. Teams know that if you shoot up hard in defence, which a lot of teams have practiced over the years, they can get outside you really well with that deep pass. And a lot of teams have wisened up to it, and they've suffered because of it. And then, you know, it's very hard to get out of a run of losses then when that happens. And it's been a tough season. And then, you know, mid-season then when you lose your coach, or your coach is telling you that he'll be gone at the end of the season, you wonder then what's the state of guys' minds with regards to their commitment to it. And a lot of guys, I'd say, felt left down because they committed to the team before that, and then Pat Lamb is moving on. So, you know, there's a lot going on in Connacht, and I think there's a little bit of frustration about the way they're playing right now, and it'd be interesting to see if that is completely changed next season with the new coaching staff coming in, or will they try and stick to what they've been doing.
I suppose, you know, when you mention all that there, Marcus, and you're kind of thinking, you know, obviously the level of the players' performance last season and the style of rugby they played, and maybe there was a, you know, a surprise element that, in terms of opposition, you know, didn't have as much analysis done on them, that it was something new that they were thrown out there, and that it was a World Cup year, that some teams were, you know, affected to different degrees by that. Would your sense be that it was just a perfect storm of circumstances from last year, and that, you know, it's not a realistic expectation to be expected anything approaching this on any kind of consistent basis going forward?
I think they'd be more disappointed about that than themselves. In fact, the level of or lack of consistency from them. But it's a bit unfair, I suppose, and disingenuous to say there it was a perfect storm and everything lined up perfectly for them. I think when it comes down to, especially the final as well, it's a one-off. You know, Leinster and all the experience they've had of finals, Connacht were just the better team on the day and better approach, played with so much freedom and skill. The level of skill, I think, last year was outstanding, and that takes an awful lot of work, and you can't take that away from Connacht. And the unfortunate thing is we just haven't seen that level of skill this season. You know, and the frustration from watching them, you know, on commentary, is that a lot of the tries they've conceded were from mistakes that they were making themselves. And you know, there was some basic stuff too. I mean, I've waxed lyrical about some of the problems that they've had about getting out of their own 22. You know, I mean, running the ball out of your 22 is fantastic, and when it comes off, you're probably hands down going to be try of the season. You know, wherever it is. But unfortunately, they didn't play the percentages well enough. For a team that play in some terrible conditions in Galway throughout the season, I don't think they've played the conditions well. I don't think they've played smart rugby when they've had to, you know, when you need to hammer out a win, sometimes it has to be ugly, and just you just got to put up with that and come out the next week and try and do the fancy stuff again. So that's one of the areas that I've always maybe been critical about Connacht throughout the season, you know.
And then to talk about Ulster from their perspective, if it's a season that has fallen short from what Connacht might have expected, it must be disastrous from an Ulster perspective across the board, considering the resources and everything that's gone into the province in recent years.
Yeah, look, I have to admit, I've been very disappointed with Ulster through the last number of seasons. From, you know, from a club that, and I look at the likes of Rory Best, who I soldiered with for a few years, and I think when they got to that European final against Leinster, and you think, you know, they're going to learn from that and kick on and win some trophies, because, you know, there's nothing better than going through a tough time like that to bounce back. And but they've never really done that, and it's not from the lack of resources, as you said, or the players. I think the players are definitely there. I think they have quality, but it's just losing those games that you just expected them to win. You know, they're just you can't really put your finger on it. I just don't think the performances are there, and the consistent performances. And by their standards, I think it's, you know, it's been a pretty disappointing, disastrous season. You know, and it's, you know, they're, you know, still in Europe, but you know, you were looking at top four there, and maybe there was a time they were pushing for top two, but they've just slipped out of it in the last couple of weeks, which is hugely disappointing.
Let's press on then and talk about the AIL final. We'll get Marcus's opinion on that in just a second, but before that, let's get the pre-match thoughts of the Clontarf head coach Andy Wood, and after that, the Cork Con prop Gavin Duffy.
You know, it's always an aspiration. You know, we've got ourselves into a, you know, some pretty consistent form in the last number of years. So it's always a goal, always an aim. You know, the way we started, it might have been a pretty distant goal, but like, we managed to turn things around. And yeah, look, we're delighted to be back here, and you know, very happy to hopefully put on a good performance on Sunday.
Now, the fact that you're trying to win the title again this year, having won it last year, I mean, what's had to be different this year, if you understand?
This year, obviously, we lost a couple of players. You know, which has given opportunities for new guys to step up and take the mantle. So, you know, there's been like a natural change, if you will. So, you know, it's an opportunity for new guys to step up and put their mark on a final stage of the season. So, you know, guys like David Joyce who are stepping up, and you know, Rob Keogh, who was injured last year, and a number of other fellas who, you know, can actually, you know, get their chance to, you know, to produce and to perform on, you know, what is a big occasion for the club game.
People must realise that these are amateur players as such, almost giving the same commitment as professional players do, and people sometimes lose sight of that.
Yeah, look, I think the conditioning of these guys now these days is almost, you know, at this end of the game is taken for granted. There's been a significant culture shift in the last number of years in terms of conditioning and the strength work that the lads do. They do have programs that they're given through the club, but you know, they do have to have, you know, a massive amount of discipline in terms of what they eat and their sleep patterns and how often they're training. So look, you got to admire the guys for the amount of hours and the effort that they put into it, as well as the pitch sessions on top of it. So and we say the traditional 9 to 5, as some of these guys are working, you know, right up to the point of, you know, whether, you know, lucky to make training, but you know, 99% of the time they do, and it's hugely appreciated by everyone in our club for certain. And you know, that's why it's great for us to get to this stage, so they can, you know, put in a performance that they can be proud of, and you know, get their just rewards on a day like Sunday, you know.
Especially after, I suppose, losing last year, I suppose everyone in the team was, you know, just so hungry to get back and just to win it. Like, it was our first AL final last year. And I suppose, you know, as for everyone on the team, and I suppose everyone on the team wants an AL after, I suppose, before last year, we'd always thought it would be nice to win an AL, but after kind of experiencing the whole thing, like, it's becoming a real hunger, so...
Yeah. Was that one of the driving forces? I mean, when you think of last year, I don't want to bring it back to there, but the disappointment of losing and how you kind of channeled that through the summer, I'm sure it took a while to get out of your system, and you got back going again.
No, it was tough, all right, you know. But yeah, no, we in fairness to I suppose to everyone, like, we really kind of, you know, worked hard, and I suppose we said it to everyone, like, that we're coming back here, and hopefully this time we'll take the AL back to Cork with us. So.
And there's a huge expectation level in Cork Constitution, is there? Because regardless of where you go in the club, there are photographs up on the wall of, you know, you're bumping into fellas who've won it on a couple of occasions. There's a massive tradition in that club.
Yeah, I've played for a few clubs, but Con is special. Like, you know, there's just, I suppose, yeah, there's just that history of success, and I suppose everyone who comes to Con, comes to win, and that's our culture. You know, we're a successful club. Every competition we're in, we go to win. It's just there's a great culture in Con of just, I suppose, of success, and I suppose I was chasing it. Yeah. So.
And when you look at, well, you're not looking at it. I am. The shirt you're wearing, 125 on the arm. I mean, 125 years. It's a special year, and it's a year that you wanna mark with some special rugby.
Oh, definitely to win on our 125th anniversary would be great. I suppose just with the 125 years, they brought out a book, you know, and it's just, you know, just shows, I suppose, flicking through the book, how, you know, what an amazing club it is, and just, I suppose, to I suppose, you know, it suits Con right down to the ground to celebrate it with an AL victory, you know, it really would mean the world to the club, yeah. So.
And speaking of that tradition, when you look at and think back to, you know, players like Ron O'Gara, Peter Stringer, Duncan O'Callaghan, even Simon Zeebo, Peter O'Mahony, people like that. I mean, you're carrying on the legacy. It's like a relay race. You're carrying the legacy of fellas from past generations.
Yeah, like if you talk to any of those lads, like they're all extremely proud of proud of Con, and they really are Con men, you know, like the likes of Peter O'Mahony there, like he's all, like, you know, he'd even come out training to help us, and you know, he's a out and out Con man, you know, and it's great to see, like.
In terms of the final this weekend, I mean, it's Clontarf, a repeat of last year. I mean, the league has been rather competitive, so the fact that the same two teams have got to the final says a lot about where those two clubs are.
Clontarf are a fantastic club, you know, like they're a fantastic team. I mean, like they have it all, really, you know. They've an extremely, extremely strong pack, and they have very, very dangerous backline. So they really are one of the top club in the country, really, at the moment. So yeah.
Okay, that's a sense from either camp in advance of the final. Marcus, you obviously would have watched a fair bit of club rugby over the course of the year. Have we been left with the best two teams standing for the final?
I would think so. I mean, Lansdowne for me were always a strong force through the season, and they've always been tough at home for teams. But you know, they obviously lost out. And, you know, I think Con probably didn't have a great start. And they've suffered with having players in and out during the season, and trying to get that consistent team list out every week is tough for all clubs, but Cork kind of suffered that as well. Clontarf, look, they're obviously back again, and that's you know, they're a real force. I think they'd have to be slight favourites for this, and it's going to be an interesting final. And I think the only good thing is, unlike the semis, there's no A games to interrupt this. You know, you're hoping to get two full squads out and have a right crack off each other. So there's a bit of history there between the two of them, and that's what makes it interesting from last year's final. So we're hoping for a good game.
Sorry, Marcus, we'll have to have a bit of a rant here now, but you mentioned that A game and the semi-finals, and I suppose you're looking at a situation where a semi-final is scheduled clashing with two European Cup games and an A game. You know, even this week, there's a major Pro 12 press conference call that clashes with the kickoff for the league final. It subsequently moved. You know, Don Lenihan wrote an article in the Examiner about it during the week. I'm not sure if you saw it or not, but we're constantly, every year, coming back to this conversation of, you know, what is the club game's place within the structure of Irish rugby? Does it have a relationship to the professional game? How should it best be promoted? Is it, you know, are the resources put into it maximised? Is it given the respect it deserves? And on and on. I mean, I don't even know what the question I'm asking is, really, but I suppose where would you like to see this whole thing going? Because we're going to turn up to the Aviva Stadium on Sunday and there'll be, you know, 2,000 people there maximum. And you just kind of feel, maybe, I suppose people with an allegiance to the club game feel, you know, the powers that be are missing a trick, possibly.
Yeah, look, Wes, you know well where I lie on this. I think it's a real, real struggle for any club. Any club coach, I think, will find it very, very difficult, motivation-wise, to stay in the game longer than a couple of years. I think it's you're fighting a battle that no one cares about, really. You know, and this is coming from a guy that I obviously had a great career in the professional game. I really enjoyed my time. I love my province. I love what it has achieved, but I also love the club, because if I didn't have the club, I don't think I would have achieved what I have achieved. And but like, my concern really is the lack of empathy for the guys on the ground. You know, I got criticised for an article that I had in the Examiner a couple of weeks ago about the BNI Cup. I don't have a problem with the BNI Cup. I think it's a great competition for what it is. My problem is that if you want young players to try and aspire to play professionally, you need to try and replicate the competition they would be playing professionally at the lower levels, which means they need to play week in, week out. They need to be able to recover from a game on a Saturday, analyse the game like a pro would do, go train and try and improve on it, and go out the following week to fix it. Whereas if you take the BNI Cup as it is on its own as a block, there's two games together, which ties in with the European Cup. Then there's gaps with two more games of the pool games, and it goes on and goes on until you get to a semi-final, if you get to a semi-final.
And it's not necessarily a settled squad. It can change by a number of players throughout the year.
Exactly. So if the senior team suffers injuries, there's a knock-on effect and club players are pulled in. And it's fine. It's a fantastic competition. It's great for Munster this year. They went on and won it, which is fantastic, and gives fellas a taste of how to win a competition. But if you take it as a season, you have guys then in and out of other squads with their club. There's no consistency there. And I think play the BNI Cup for sure. Delighted to do that. And I think it can be played at a certain time of the season. And maybe use the league earlier in the season where it's run off completely together. And, you know, if you wanted to give some club players a chance at that A team, you know, if there was one guy that's Sean and he's an amateur player, then you're also saying to the amateur game, look, there is a pathway for amateur players into the professional game. Because if you perform in the league, you know, you could get picked up. You know, we all know about the late developers of guys who, you know, who get picked up late on. John Hayes is one of those guys who came to rugby late. Are you telling guys that can't still happen right now? You know, and I think look, don't get me wrong, the academies are doing a fantastic job. We've talked about it already with the Carberries in Leinster, and you know, the Peter O'Mahony's, and most, they all come through the academy, and it's fantastic, and long may that continue. But there's a duty of care of all the other levels of rugby to look after the weakest level, and right now the weakest level is the club game. The schools game is in a way, way better position than the club game right now. And unless you look after that root of your tree, the tree is going to die, you know, and the effect is going to happen. You're going to get a lot of people who are struggling in the club level who are going to lose their faith in the administration, and they're going to get angry about it. And you know what? I wouldn't pretend that there might even be a split. You know that the clubs are getting so frustrated that they could split. And look, the last thing for me about that is, I think the clubs, you know, every time someone has an issue, I know Young Munsters were very vocal in the last couple of weeks about it, but the clubs actually need to get together. So it might only be Young Munsters this year, and it might be someone else next year, but they actually do need to get together and talk and be stronger together and voice their opinion together, because if you're coming in ones and twos, you won't change anything, you know?
Okay. Marcus, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the games over the weekend, and we'll chat again soon.
Cheers, boys. Good to chat to you. Thanks a lot.
That's Marcus Horan joining us there. We're on duty. You're in different roles, obviously, for the AAL final at the weekend. You'll be manning the control ship, whatever it's called.
I'll just be sitting around doing nothing, really.
Yeah. I'll be asking innocuous questions of...
I think Marcus had a lot of good points, though. I think it's a sorry enough state of affairs, yeah, the way things have gone.
But that said, it's a great spectacle. Like, you know, last year's final was a joy to behold. It was, you know, Joey Carberry
Joey Carberry
name checked by Joe Schmidt at halftime on the television last year.
Yeah.
He will most likely be the starting out half for the summer tour.
Went back to when these two teams played in 2010 in the final, and you go back and look at the teams now: Peter O'Mahony, yeah, Simon Zeebo, Duncan Williams. I mean, I don't know, you'd be blue in the face talking about,
yep,
it, really.
It's live on RT2 television. We're looking forward to being there and being a part of it. Before we go, we have three more pairs of tickets to give away to the upcoming Guinness Pro 12 final, which is always a great family day out. That final will take place at the Aviva Stadium on May 27th. Tickets are available now through Ticketmaster. Details of the final available from pro12rugby.com. Our winners a couple of weeks back were James Whelan in Limerick and Pat Garvey in Down. To win this week, tell us, Mike Ross announced his retirement from the professional game last week. From which English club did Mike join Leinster? Email your answer, your name and your address to rugbypodcast@rte.ie. We will chat to you again soon. Wes, thanks for your time as always.
No probs, thank you.
Take care, thanks for listening.
The RTE Rugby Podcast.